Turn your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1, and we're going to be covering verses 11 to 14 today. Ephesians chapter 1, 11 to 14 today, as we're started in Ephesians, and we're chipping away at chapter 1, and it's just so thick with theological truth, and yet with every glance of it, it's like looking at a diamond and just seeing the beauty of the blessings in Christ. And as we, Paul has been explaining, just really all of these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, and they're really monumental. I mean, we found already that we're chosen, adopted, forgiven, made aware of God's great plan. Like, all of that in itself could, like, soak your soul with truth for a lifetime. But Paul doesn't end there. He, like a glorious wave hitting us again, he hits us with more blessed truth. And this morning we will learn about the blessing of our inheritance in Christ. So let's read it to begin. Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. If you are older, and maybe both of your parents have passed away, what did you inherit from them? Maybe it was a certain amount of money. Maybe it was just this precious heirloom or something else. And I'm sure you're thankful. You cherish anything that you have received from what your parents have left behind. And maybe your parents are still alive and you're thinking about maybe what will you receive? Maybe it's that precious heirloom that's passed on. But receiving an inheritance, it should be a happy, grateful time, but it isn't always, right? It isn't always for many families. Rather, sadly, it's time for many fights and bickering among family members. It's said that there's a massive estate in southern Mississippi that is owned by a large family, but apparently it gets very messy because here there's 8 brothers and sisters, and they each have their strong opinions about the massive estate. And so some siblings have moved out of the state, and they want nothing to do with the discord. And others believe that, the father wouldn't want this, fighting over something as petty as property. And yet amidst this, there's this resentment that has grown. There's been angry emails written, and sides have been taken, and relationships have been damaged and lost completely over all of that. Isn't that so sad? Is this inheritance is something good and it should be beneficial to people, and yet there's this bickering, there's this fighting over it. Well, the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, it talks about our inheritance, and thankfully this is not an inheritance that we have to fight over. And also, this inheritance is infinitely better than any earthly inheritance found in this life. And so as we consider the passage this morning, we discover some truths. And the first one is this: in Christ, we have an inheritance. Very simply, in Christ, we have an inheritance. And we see that right off the bat in verse 11. It says simply, in him we have obtained an inheritance. Of course, the him is Jesus Christ. He's been talking about Jesus Christ by using in him or in Christ language throughout all of these blessings. And so it's showing us, because of our union with Christ, and only because of our union with Christ, that it is that we have obtained or received this inheritance from God. Right? And so we must never neglect or walk away from this very all-important truth, is that the only way that you can have all of these amazing spiritual blessings is because of Jesus. And we did not earn these blessings. If you look at these blessings, you see that there's nothing that says that we are earning them in any way. We don't acquire them by ourselves, but they come because of Jesus. Because of simple faith in Jesus, that all of these things come to us. And so it reminds us that Jesus should be the most important person for us ever and always. May it never be said that we have turned away from our Savior. May it never be said that we have turned away from Christ as our head and leader and Lord. Christ is our all. He should be our focus, our love. And so let me ask you, has your focus and love for Christ been diminishing lately? Get back to the glory, the priority of Jesus Christ. As we think about an inheritance, you know, typically when it comes to inheritance, what are some things? Now, you do not earn an inheritance by doing amazing things, typically. You do not get an inheritance because you accomplished a certain amount of things in your life. Why do you receive an inheritance? You simply are born into a certain family. You're involved in a certain family. And so, really, inheritance is typically unmerited, right? It's really a gift when you think about it. You are born an heir. You are not made an heir by great deeds. And so, also, we are heirs of God, not because we did something amazing, right? You don't do a certain amount of good deeds and then you earn this badge of inheritor. No, God simply adopted us into his family when we believed in his son, Jesus Christ. I think of Galatians 3. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. John 1, 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so those who believe in Christ, they're born again. They're born into the family of God. And that means we are truly God's children. We are truly God's heirs. And so we see the only way, really, then, to receive the inheritance is by grace through faith. God must work in our hearts. He must soften our hearts. He must lead us to simply trust in Jesus who did the work for us. It's only in Christ that we receive this inheritance because it was through his redemptive work. He's opened up the way for us to be children of God. And now, of course, we can't help but rejoice because it's all by grace that we can be called children of God. And it shows the love of God that we have this inheritance. And as I was considering this, to think about, man, in Christ, we are inheritors of this amazing, these amazing blessings, that we are heirs. We're called fellow heirs with Christ. So think about that. And it made me think about how often we as Christians, we see ourselves as poor and not rich. Right? But when we do that, what are we doing? We're thinking only in terms of material possessions, right? But if you think about it, the Bible is showing us that if you are a true Christian, you are actually immeasurably rich. And James even makes that point in one place. Because we are heirs of God, we have an inheritance. It is ours. If you were an inheritor of some massive estate, you wouldn't really view yourself as poor. You would see yourself as rich. And so we must realize that we have obtained an inheritance in Christ. Now, of course, we may not see the fullness of that inheritance until later, but even now, our names are on it. It's ours. So often we look to the future, but and we see it as dull and hopeless and lowly. But when you really think about these truths, that we have an inheritance in heaven, how could you think of the future as any way dull, hopeless, or lonely? We are heirs of God. Really think about it. Heirs of God. Wake up to the truth of that reality. That if you have trusted in Christ alone, you have an inheritance. Your name's on it. When you have those moments of looking at your life and you feel like, man, I have nothing, remember this verse. You have an inheritance, and that means you have so much. Now the question remains, what exactly is this inheritance? Like, because it's sort of sometimes hard to grasp. What exactly does that mean? When you look at the testimony of Scripture, the inheritance is really heaven and all of its eternal blessings. There's various places that it talks about the inheritance being the kingdom of God, the eternal life, or even salvation. And so it's really all of this salvation, eternal life, heaven, all of the blessings of heaven, glorified body, you know, all of that is included in the inheritance. And so right now it may feel like you don't have much. You know, our physical life is often very precarious. It's very precarious as open up to danger or disease. Many of us only own a small amount of things, and we're part of earthly, fragile, wicked nations. But really, if you think about it, our inheritance is the complete opposite of those things, right? Our inheritance means someday we get to live forever in heaven with God in perpetual bliss. We will have glorified bodies that will not decay or grow old. Christ will be king. He even says we will reign with him. Just to read the descriptions of heaven. Remember how glorious it will be. Amazing, perfect, breathtaking. Because our minds can't really even fathom how amazing and glorious it really will be. Heaven and its blessings await us as our inheritance, and they're given to us by God. But what else are we told here about this inheritance? So you just notice there it says, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So to predestine is to determine beforehand. And so really this verse is telling us that God has determined beforehand that we would receive an inheritance. So before we were born, before we did anything good or bad, God determined to graciously give us the inheritance. And isn't that like really amazing? He just showers us with these blessings. Even before creation, he is determined to do this. And so it really points us and emphasizes that when it comes to this inheritance idea and us receiving this inheritance, it wasn't a last-minute decision. You know, it wasn't where God thought, oh, you belong to me. I guess I should give you your inheritance. Okay, I guess that'll sound good. No, that's not how it worked. And he didn't reluctantly do this. No, it's showing us it was in the heart of God to give us eternal life in heaven. He chose to do so in grace. And actually, we're told it was all what? According to his purpose. He purposed and planned to give us the inheritance. And so us receiving an inheritance was part of God's glorious plan from the beginning of time. Doesn't that just show you the gracious heart of God? Because he knew that we would sin against him. He knew that we would be rebels against him. And yet he purposed to not only forgive us, but also to give us heaven as well. If that doesn't astound you, I don't know what will. To not only forgive us, but to give us heaven and all of its glorious blessing, eternal blessings. And so receiving the inheritance was predetermined in the plan of God. But the question is, how do we know that this plan is going to come to be? Right? Because we come up with plans all the time that don't happen. We have so many purposes, right? It could even be day-to-day purposes and plans that just fall through, right? You have your day planned out, and often what happens? That plan is just cut up into shreds, right? Because things happen. The unexpected happens. Our intentions and plans don't always come to be. But here's the thing. God isn't us. God isn't us. Our plans and intentions and purposes, they don't often come to be. But God is God and we are not. It says, look there at verse 11. Having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. I just love that statement. Our inheritance is a predetermined purpose of God. How do we know it will come to be? Because he works all things according to the counsel of his will. Because think about what that is telling us. It tells us this. God always does what he intends to do. That's what it says. The word works here has the idea of implements, causes to function, carries into effect. So God always executes his plan. He works what he has purposed. He accomplishes what he sets to do. We definitely wouldn't say that about ourselves for everything, Now, there's some times where, man, I planned to do that and I got it done. But there's many other times where he said, I planned to do that and I didn't get it done, right? You got that project list at home. I planned to do all those last summer, but it didn't happen. Anyone else ever do that, right? It happens to us. What God purposes, he does. God's plans are carried out 100% of the time without fail. And this plan, notice, it involves all things. It's comprehensive. Nothing is outside of his control. He works all things according to his purpose, meaning he works, moves, directs, governs everything in order that it will be accomplished. It will for sure be accomplished. It's all according to the counsel of his will. And so we could put it this way. God has ultimate goals for the universe that he has decided and resolved to accomplish, right? So he has these goals, these purposes for the universe, and he effectually works all things so that those purposes are done. They will be done. That's what we're told. That is just mind-blowing. That he's working all of these things and it will be done according to what he has set out to do. And it reminds me of Isaiah 14:27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who will turn it back? What comfort for us who follow him, who trust in him. What joy, what relief is that we don't have to be in control. In fact, we can't be in control. We know that. But we don't even have to try to be in control because there's already somebody in control, God Almighty. He's in control. He's sovereign. He's working all things for his good and perfect purposes. And so we don't need to fret. We shouldn't fret. No matter how bleak things look, no matter how dark, no matter how hopeless things look, God is working his goodwill. And so it reminds us, like, who God is and, you know, how he functions, how, what his character is and what he does. And so it reminds us that God is not in heaven like frantically trying to figure out things. He's not like frantic like, oh, I didn't foresee that happening. He's not sweating, trying to make sure, okay, is this going to work out and things like that. He's not like a guy who's like running around pushing knobs and or pushing buttons and turning knobs and struggling to keep up. No, he is working all things for his plan. And guess what? One aspect of that plan is giving us the inheritance. So it gives us confidence. Man, if he has promised to give us the inheritance, guess what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. We're definitely going to receive it. He's the one who effectually works all things according to his purposes. And we see that he has done this so that we would praise his glory. God has ordained and is working all things to be led to our proper goal and purpose is the glory of God. Look there, verse 12. He did this so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. And so we're told here, really shown here, that God did not make us heirs so that we would ignore him. God made us heirs so that we would praise him, so that he would get the glory for what he has done. And so we see that being heirs of God should motivate us to continual praise for God. Really involved in that is, of course, thankfulness, but mainly praise and glory to God. But so often we act entitled, don't we? We're ungrateful. We're unhappy with what we have received in life. Consider how often you grumble versus how often you're grateful. Consider how little praise you give to God compared to how much praise God deserves. So all of the blessings of God, even the inheritance we have, should lead our hearts to this praise and glory of God. So we should praise him even now in our hearts. Thank him. Praise him for what he has done and given to you. Rejoice in what he has done. Lift up his name. Show off his glory to those you interact with. And so we see here in verses 11 and 12, we have obtained or received an inheritance. But what do we see when we go further? Number two, in Christ we have received the Spirit. In Christ we have received the Spirit. Look there at verse 13. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And so once again, another blessing, right? In Him you also, what? Receive this as well. And so this is another blessing of being in Christ, is that you receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. And so the amount of blessings that we have received, like, it's just crazy when you think about it. Election, adoption, forgiveness, knowing the plan of God, inheritance, and now Spirit, the Spirit. And once again, all of these come to us not by merit, but by grace. Because notice, how is it that we receive the Spirit? Like, what is the means, what is the circumstances that come along with that? Notice what it says. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him. That's when you were sealed with the Spirit. It's when you heard and believed. And hearing and believing isn't like hard work when you really think about it, right? It's not. We didn't climb some super spiritual ladder of good works and then we received the Spirit. It doesn't work like that. We didn't have to go through massive amounts of red tape, right? We didn't have to attain to this super spiritual godliness we didn't have to pay a certain amount of money to receive the Spirit. No, what is the Bible telling us? You receive the Spirit when you simply hear and believe the gospel. When you hear and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. He gives all the Spirit to all those who believe in Christ. And so this shows us that you must believe in Jesus to receive the Spirit, right? You must believe in Jesus. And so everyone doesn't just instantly and naturally have the Spirit of God within them when they're physically born. What? You have to actually hear and believe the good news of what Jesus did on the cross for you. There's no other way. There's no alternative to have the Spirit within you. There's no way to skirt around Christ and get the Spirit. No, you have faith in Jesus, you have the Spirit. You're sealed with the Spirit. And so we must hear. But notice, hearing isn't the only thing. You must actually believe. There's some maybe even in this room. And you have heard of Jesus. You have heard of what He has done for you many, many times in your life. But my question is for you is, have you actually personally trusted in Him to be saved? Because it says, hearing and believing. You must hear, yes. Hearing is important. Knowing the truth is important. But believing is essential as well. We have to trust in Him. And so He was promised. We receive the promised Holy Spirit. And we see Christ promising the Spirit in many places throughout His ministry. And then the Spirit comes at Pentecost, Acts 2, and the believers are filled with the Holy Spirit then and going on from there. And we know the Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. And when you think about what is the Spirit's role, well, the Spirit gives us life. He empowers us for service. He gives us spiritual gifts. He works in us to be more holy. He's the one who produces the fruit in our life, the fruit of the Spirit, right? He leads us. He guides us in life. He illuminates Scripture so that we understand it even more deeply. He's the presence of God in our lives. He gives us assurance that we are His. He's the comforter. He's the helper. And as we live through our Christian life, He's essential, right? He's needed. Life giver, empowerer, comforter, helper, all of these things He does in our lives. It's the Spirit that we receive when we trust in Christ. And so that means every believer receives the Spirit. There is no such thing as a Christian who does not have the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is making something clear here. When we placed our faith in Jesus Christ, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that word is very important. We were sealed with the Holy Spirit. By having the Holy Spirit, we show we belong to God. We show that we are guarded. Seals were used back in antiquity to authenticate something, but also to protect it from tampering. And so think about a king, and he would put his seal on something, and that would show it's officially from him, it belongs to him, but also if you opened it, you have tampered with it, unless you're the official person that's supposed to receive it, right? And so it really showed ownership, and also it guarded. And that's really what the Spirit is in our lives, is that when we receive the Spirit, what is it showing? It's showing, I belong to God. But it's also showing, I am guarded. My eternal life is guarded by God. And that means we will for sure receive our inheritance. And that's why right after this, Paul says that the Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. And I think about so often, you know, products that have that stamp on it, guaranteed fresh, guaranteed authentic, or something like that. Well, really, what is Scripture showing us is that when you have the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is like a seal or a stamp on your life saying guaranteed an inheritance. You are guaranteed an inheritance. It's having the Spirit that guarantees that. It reassures our hearts that we will someday truly experience heaven and all of its eternal blessing. In fact, this term for guarantee is really a term used for like a down payment, right? Or a first installment. It's like that first payment that you promise that you're going to pay the rest. Like, okay, I'm giving you this up front to promise the rest of it. Well, that's the idea of the Spirit. Is the Spirit being given to us is like God making a deposit. He's pledging to give us the rest in the future. And so the Spirit of God is God's promise to us. When we have the Spirit, it's a promise. The inheritance will be given to you. Just look at how I gave you the Spirit. That's what it's saying. The inheritance will be given to you. Look at how you have the Spirit. There's this news story of these two brothers, and they were so poor, and they lived in this cave, and they got by selling the scavenged junk. And here they found out that they were in line to receive $6.6 billion of inheritance from this long-lost grandmother. Apparently, you know, the only way the lawyers found and notified these brothers was by doing like some of that genealogy research, you know, finding out that they were the ones to receive the inheritance. But I was just reading this article, like, wow, this amazing inheritance, and they're next in line. And here at the very end of the news article, it says this: the brothers are trying to track down their mother's death certificate to prove relation to their grandmother before traveling to Germany to claim the fortune. And so we see the whole inheritance that these two brothers were to receive, it actually hinged on finding this death certificate. So they weren't actually guaranteed this inheritance until they found this death certificate. You know what? Thankfully, we're not in that predicament. We have a guarantee. We have that certificate, that guarantee, that down payment. Every reminder that you have the Spirit is a reassurance in your heart. It's a guarantee that you not only belong to God, but that heaven and all of its eternal blessings are yours someday. It's a guarantee. And so you don't have to be in doubt. You don't have to be a skeptic, and you shouldn't be. But you can be confident that if you have the Spirit, you will receive the inheritance. It's a for sure thing. And so as I think about this, the Lord, He just always goes above and beyond in comfort to reassure our hearts, doesn't He? He always wants to reassure us of what we have in Him, to let us know so that our hearts are not troubled, but that we can have comfort and assurance and confidence in Him. He always goes above and beyond in grace. And once again, we see that He does this to the praise of His glory. We have been sealed by the Spirit for our inheritance so that He would get the glory. Because where else would all of this go? Where else should all of this lead? Where else should all of this eternal, amazing, spectacular, gracious blessings lead to other than the praise of His glory? Because it all comes from Him. It's all because of Him. It's all by grace. He did the work. He did it through Jesus Christ. We didn't accomplish these things. We received them by grace, and may God get the glory. And so as we consider what we learned this morning, we see this main point. In Christ, we have a Spirit-guaranteed inheritance. So just pray. So praise the Lord. What a great, gracious, and glorious God that we serve. We have been given so much, and it's all in and through and because of Jesus. Because we, when you look at the picture of the Scripture here, what is it showing that we did? We didn't do amazing things. We simply heard a message, the good news of Jesus, and we believed. We trusted. That's all we did. We heard and believed in Jesus Christ. He did all the work, right? He came and He was born on this earth, lived the perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, rose again and ascended into heaven, and we simply believed that He did that for us. That's amazing. We heard and believed. And so it was all grace. What else can we do but live for the praise of God's glory? And as we conclude this morning, I want to think about being an heir of God and what does it actually mean for our day-to-day lives? Like, what impact should it make for our daily lives? Because it's so easy when it comes to these theological truths, and they're theological truths and so important, to keep them up here, right? To keep them in the sort of the abstract, and but not always to bring them down to reality. Okay, how does this affect my heart? How does this affect my daily life? And it's so easy to keep that detached, but let's bring it down. First, being an heir of God means that you belong to God as one of His beloved children and heirs. So think about what difference that will make in your life. That if you always remember, I belong to God as a beloved child and heir of God. It means no matter what people say of you, no matter what you go through life, you can remember, I am loved by God. I am belong to Him. And what a difference that makes in your heart. When you're treated horribly by others, you can remember, man, I am loved by God. I am an heir of God. Because they may say some of the meanest, harshest things about you, but I am greatly loved by the Lord of the universe. Secondly, being an heir of God means I've been given so much, and I'm going to receive even more someday. There's a story of this formerly estranged son who talked about being reunited with his father. And he says that for a year I begged on the streets for a living. One day, I touched the man on the shoulder and say, "Hey, mister, can you give me a dime?" As soon as I saw his face, I was shocked to see it was my own father. And I said, "Father, father, do you know me?" Throwing his arms around me and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Oh, my son, at last I found you, I found you. You want a dime? Why, everything I have is yours." And so the formerly estranged son says this about the story. "Just think of it. I was a vagrant. I stood begging my own father for 10 cents when for 18 years he had been looking for me to give me all that he had." And it reminds me that no matter how materially poor you are in this life, you are actually immeasurably rich. Is that we don't have to beg for 10 cents. We're heirs of God. And so we don't, meaning, look, we are heirs of God. Look how rich we are in Christ. Though it may not always look like it, when it comes to eternity, we are rich in Christ. And so when you really keep thinking about look how rich I am in Christ. Look, I am an heir of God. It means I don't have to live for the here and now material possessions because I have an inheritance to come that far outweighs them all. And so you're free to serve Him and not just serve for money. You're free to give your all for His cause. You're free to sacrifice and give generously to others because you're not just living for the here and now. You know, I'm rich in Christ. I have so much in God. I'm an heir of God. I have something more better, more sure, more certain to come. It's guaranteed. It's promised. The pledge, the down payment has been given to me already. And lastly, being an heir of God means we are assured eternal life as well as heaven in all of its glories. And I want you to just really think about how much of a difference that should make in your life. I am assured of heaven, eternal life, and all of its glories. I have the Spirit as the down payment proving that I am belong to God. I'm a child. I'm an heir. I'm a heaven inheritance. And that means heaven and all of its glories. And so that means although you are weak in this life, although you become frail, although you even may be on death's doorstep someday, you can have confidence that my physical death is not truly the end. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ to be saved, the challenges of this life, even the valley of the shadow of death, are not the ultimate threats to you. But you are assured a future. You have an amazing, glorious future in heaven, an inheritance waiting for you, undefiled, kept in heaven for you, as Peter says. And so what a privilege, what an honor, what grace to be called a child of God. And I'll finish with this. Romans says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are truly a good, good Father. Lord, You have allowed us. You have given us the right to become Your children simply through faith in Jesus, Lord. We haven't merited it. We haven't done all these crazy things to gain it. Lord, but You have showered Your grace and mercy and love upon us who are sinners. And You have given us Jesus. You have given us heaven and all of its glories. And we thank You so much for that. Lord, help us to never take it for granted. Help us to never be ungrateful, but that we would always live for You in praise of Your glorious grace. And I just pray that You would work that into our hearts and help us to see that this truly does make a difference in our day-to-day lives, to remember that we are Your children, we are Your heirs. We have the Spirit if we have trusted in Jesus, and that means we have everything.
Thank you so much for listening. We pray that you were encouraged by the sermon today. This sermon was preached at First Baptist Church of Clearfield, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information about our church, you can visit our website at fbcclearfield.com. May God grant you grace and peace as you look to Him today.